Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week. Actually, I'll be taking off the rest of the week, so this is like Friday for me, but I'll be back on Monday. A lot of people already leaving the city. A lot of people coming into the city. It gets really crowded. They're starting these new rules about the Rockefeller Center. They're going to close parts of Fifth Avenue to traffic. What the hell is it with these politicians wanting to close the... That's what the streets are for, traffic, not pedestrians. That's why you have a sidewalk. So Black Friday coming up, although... In the online shopping world, Black Friday, not quite what it used to be. We got lots to get to this hour. We'll make fun, of course, every day for the next few months till he drops out of the race in shame. Michael Bloomberg. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bloomberg.
Now, I took on Trump on gun violence and won stronger gun laws in states across the country. I took on Trump, the climate denier.
A climate denier. How does he think he's going to win anything, anywhere, with that little voice? Now, he did his first appearance. It was in Virginia at a diner. I'm not kidding. 20 people showed up. That's it. Now, they didn't check the crowd to see. I would imagine 10 people there worked for him. But there were that happened to de Blasio once, where they saw 5 people show up in New Hampshire. And it turned out, literally, that the 3 of the people were staffers, de Blasio staffers, who had taken a seat in the audience. So that may be the case with Bloomberg. Nobody showed up to see him. But in his defense, he's only run $10 million worth of ads so far. You really got to run $100 million before anybody shows up to see you. Democrats are desperate right now. They don't know what the hell to do. They can't beat the president. Here's the problem. To knock a president out after one term, to throw him out after one term, is almost impossible. It's only happened 3 times in modern times. Carter, Ford, Bush Sr. And all 3 had one thing in common, a disastrous economy. So it's only with a really bad economy that you can throw somebody out after one term. It's the only time it happens. And obviously, we have a record economy right now. Stock market, all-time record. Unemployment, 55-year low. Economy is booming. Now, there's another factor here. In each case where it was a one-term president, the person campaigning against them never mentioned them, never ran a negative campaign. It was always a positive, uplifting campaign. When Carter ran against Ford, he never mentioned Ford. Never mentioned him in the campaign, just ran a positive, uplifting campaign about what he would bring. When Clinton, who was a great campaigner, ran against Bush Sr., never even mentioned him. Never mentioned him in the campaign, just ran on a very positive, uplifting message. So Democrats, 2 major problems. 1, booming economy, so there's no issue to run on. 2, they haven't got any positive, uplifting message. It's all just hatred, and we hate Trump, and we've got to throw him out. So it's all negative. That never works. Problem is, you don't have any decent candidates. Look at this collection of ship of fools, from Sanders to Warren. Buttigieg might be a good candidate someday, but not now. He looks like he's 12. He maybe in 2024, 2028, he'll be a strong candidate, but he's not ready for it yet. Cory Booker, you got a lot of these Cory Bookers, nice guy, but definitely not ready for prime time, not one of those kind of. So because they're all inept and bungling, and you got to blame Obama, and you got to blame Clinton. You know, the one thing about those 2 presidencies, they never developed a bench. Some presidents are good at that. They create a lot of stars, a lot of future candidates. Clinton was famous for not creating any bench, and Obama the same thing. So there's no superstar Democrats out there. I mean, really good people who've had got real prominence from a Democratic president. There's nobody out there. You could argue Biden, of course. But as Barack Obama has just told people, Joe is really out of it. Joe hasn't got it anymore. Joe can't win. So that's why you got all these people jumping in.
I believe my unique set of experiences in business, government, and philanthropy will enable me to both win and to lead.
Yeah, that's why he can't just say it. He's reading it off a piece of paper. There's nobody else who's had experience in government. I don't think there's anybody else with experience in business. This is unique. Nobody else has experience in business. and philanthropy. Oh, my God. That's who could top that resume?
We cannot afford four more years of President Trump's reckless and unethical actions.
Well, first of all, again, nothing unethical. The most vetted guy in the history of the world. Nobody's found a damn thing yet. We can't afford this. We're making a fortune off this. Nobody's made more money off Trump than Bloomberg. That's what happens when the Dow goes up to 28,000. The Dow has just soared under the president. Unemployment is way down. Average income is way up. Middle class wages are up. Jobs coming back. We can afford this. I don't think we can afford to stop this right now. So Bloomberg hasn't got a thing to run on. Can't think of a damn thing to run on. Democrats have nothing but trouble. If the China deal is made, that's going to be a major thing. First of all, that'll knock the stock market up another 5,000 points. And it looks like real progress has been made with China. You know, one of the big fights, besides the money, the tariffs, the imports, the exports, the other problem is they steal our intellectual property. And they've been doing that for decades. They just steal all our intellectual property. Any company that wants to go over and do business in China has to hand over all their secrets, all their patents, and China steals them. And companies, believe it or not, have put up with this because the China market is a billion people. They just can't afford to pass that up. But yesterday, China decided to call Lighthizer, our negotiator, and they've said they will make some concessions on that. They will budge on protecting intellectual property. That's a major breakthrough. That's one reason the stock market has gone up the last couple of days, because of that. So if the China deal is made, that's a big blockbuster thing for the economy, and that makes ever mentioning the economy impossible for any Democratic candidate. So they can't beat him on any issue. They can't beat him on popularity. They can't beat him at the polls. You know, none of these Democrats can get anybody to show up for a rally. That tells you everything. So the only way to beat this guy is to arrest him and convict him of something. And everybody's tried. Everybody has gone after Mueller, or the New York Attorney General. Every U.S. attorney, Democrat, has tried. They can't come up with a damn thing. Nothing they can do. Adam Schiff has been trying the last few weeks. Problem is, he's got a couple of problems in those hearings the last few weeks. One, the witnesses were all just deep state characters that have nothing to do with anything. The bow tie idiot, the fat clown with the uniform, these are people that have nothing to say about foreign policy. They're just staff. Their opinion is irrelevant. Vindman with the trick-or-treat uniform testifying about anybody was doing was against American foreign policy. No, it's not. American foreign policy is whatever the president says it is. It's not up to this Vindman from some cubicle in the building across the street. He doesn't set foreign policy. He's supposed to follow it. He's actually the one battling foreign policy, which is whatever the hell the president says it is. So that didn't go anywhere with those witnesses. Here's what's going to happen now. They're going to write this all up, whatever they think they found. And next week, you know, here's the other thing. The Democrats, including Schiff, said this is a crisis. Our democracy is at stake. It's the biggest national emergency we've ever faced. And we're going on vacation for 10 days. So they're on vacation for 10 days. Do you get 10 days off for Thanksgiving? They get 10 days off for Thanksgiving. So when they come back in a week or so, they will write up whatever they think they found, and they will send it over to the House Judiciary Committee. Again, that's Nadler, who's the most repulsive thing on television. People look at him and just get sick. And he is a bumbling idiot. Remember how he bumbled up the what was the last hearing where he just bumbled it up? He didn't understand how executive privilege work, and that came out on the air. Just a disaster. One of these mediocrities that just stays in government for decades, shouldn't be there. So it'll go over to Nadler. Here's the problem. If it ever goes to the Senate, you go to an actual trial with actual rules, actual due process. All these idiots you saw testify, the bow tie guy, Vindman, none of them would be allowed to testify since they have no direct knowledge of anything, and they're not really involved in anything. And the other thing is, Republicans can then call witnesses. They should call Adam Schiff and make him testify under oath. Schiff on Sunday said he doesn't think he should do that. There's no reason for him to testify. Here's an important thing to remember. When the Clinton impeachment took place, that was Ken Starr who did the investigation. Starr went and testified under oath and was willing to answer all the questions. Everybody involved in that impeachment testified under oath. The chairman of the committee, they were all happy to answer any questions under oath. Schiff refuses to do that. That tells you all you need to know. Anytime you see Adam Schiff refuse to appear on television and submit to an interview, you know something's wrong. So that tells you everything. So they can't beat him with an issue. They can't beat Trump at the polls. They haven't got a candidate popular enough to beat Trump. So what do you do? The other thing you can try is register anybody to vote. Let illegal aliens vote. They changed the rules so that there's no ID required. That way millions of illegal aliens can vote. And now they try this. Brookline, Massachusetts. That's a suburb just outside of Boston. Although when you're there, it looks like it's Boston. It's like 1 inch over the line, but it's actually a suburb. It's a separate town. In Brookline, Massachusetts, they just voted to lower the voting age to 16. I don't even know if it should be 18. It should probably be 21, but they've lowered it to 16. Now, we'll see if that's challenged legally. Now, the reason for that, you have a 16-year-old. You know that they're not qualified to vote. They're totally irresponsible. The reason they want to lower the voting age is anybody 16 or 17 is a left-wing Democrat. It's always that way. It's like 99% that way. So that's the other trick they'll use. That's one reason they don't want a wall. You know, that's the Democratic thinking. If you won't vote for us, we'll import people who will vote for us. So that's why no wall, none of that stuff. Hey, speaking of Bloomberg, you know, he's always talking about Trump, his tax returns. Bloomberg is in a tax battle right now. His company is doing something to get a huge tax deduction. It's too boring to explain all this, but the Bloomberg terminal on your desk, the data in it, the software, the terminal, there's a legal argument over whether the person is leasing that or licensing that. Bloomberg says it's a, whatever they say it is to get a tax deduction. The government is arguing that they don't deserve that tax deduction, and then it's going to be a ruling on this at some point. So Bloomberg is having a fight with the government over trying not to pay taxes on certain things. We'll see what happens. The other thing is he owns a media company, Bloomberg News. Now, it's not a big news company. You know, the radio station here in New York has like 10,000 listeners. That's about it. The TV network has about 38,000. Although the people that watch Bloomberg are like top financial people that watch it. But what do you do if you're running and you got a media company and a news organization? Well, they've decided to keep it fair that while he's running, his news organization will not investigate any Democratic candidates and will not investigate Michael Bloomberg. I would imagine before this rule, if you were at Bloomberg News, you didn't investigate Michael Bloomberg anyway. That was kind of understood. But they've announced they will continue to investigate Donald Trump. I know, if you stop and think about it, wait a minute, the president is on trial. They're talking about impeaching him because he tried to investigate his political opponent. Yet Bloomberg News just said they will investigate their political opponent. That's the number one rival. That's who he's trying to beat.
I know what it takes to beat Trump because I already have, and I will do it again.
Well, I don't know when he ever has. I don't know what he's talking about. But this is all he talks about, beating Trump. So he's acknowledging his political rival is Donald Trump, yet he has just said his media company is still free to investigate his number one political rival, which shows you how silly this Bloomberg is. He doesn't pass the laugh test, the smell test. It's just never going to work. He's apologizing for everything he's ever done. He's running in borrowed clothes. You saw the first campaign ad where he's dressed like Bob Vila. He wants you to think he just came from fixing the shed. He just came from mowing the lawn. So whenever you pretend to be somebody you're not, or you play a fake character, it doesn't work. Disney started that streaming service. You know, there's Netflix, there's Hulu, there's Amazon Prime. Disney wants to get in the act. They've started their streaming service. You know, the first day they signed up 10 million people. That's pretty amazing. They're now up to 16 million people. They're signing up a million people a day for this Disney streaming. It's $7. You get access to all the Disney content. That's a lot of movies. That's a lot of stuff. Also, Disney has ESPN and all this stuff. So it's huge. Now, the next one is NBC. NBC is owned by Universal. So that streaming service will have everything NBC. That's NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, but it's also Universal, which means millions of TV shows, millions of movies. So I don't know how this is all going to work. Eventually, there'll be 30 of these streaming services. If you sign up for all of them, it's $7 a month. You're right back to what the cable bill is now. Although you don't have to deal with the cable company, it's going to be a lot easier. And Hulu is talking about, I don't know how this is going to work. They're talking about putting, it's Hulu now, but they want to do like a $59 a month Hulu. That sounds expensive, but it'll give you like 30 or 40 of the top cable channels live. Live TV. So in other words, your favorite cable channels, you'll actually be able to watch them live on your phone, on your computer. That's pretty much the end of the cable companies when stuff like that starts, except how do you get your signal? How do you get your Wi-Fi at home? You're going to need the cable company for that. You could use the phone company, but nobody has a landline anymore. So basically, the cable company could end up just in the Wi-Fi business at some point. Bill O'Reilly will be with us in a few moments. We'll take some calls in a second. Check out the webpage. I just found this, otherwise I'll put up this last week, with the JFK assassination. Everybody looking back at the moments of the assassination, the Cronkite breaking news on TV. But here was, this was really dramatic. Kennedy from Boston. The Boston Symphony was about to do a live performance, and it was going to be broadcast all over the country. And just then they found out the president had been shot. Watch the announcement, and it's very dramatic. Listen to the audience reaction. Anyway, that's up on the webpage. Also, take a look at this. Here's a 2019 high-tech Thanksgiving in the digital world. This is what Thanksgiving dinner has turned into. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York.
Mr. New York.
Mark Simone on 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. You never know what the hell this crazy Mayor de Blasio is up to and the left-wing kooks. But the thing now is to ban foie gras. Now, this might not concern you because, like me, when you go into a restaurant, if the waiter says, we're out of foie gras, I don't get too upset. I don't think anybody says, oh, maybe we should go somewhere else. I don't think anybody cares. But this is an important issue. The reason they want to ban foie gras is, what is it made out of? Goose liver? Goose liver. So apparently when they kill the goose or they whatever they do to the goose to get the goose liver for the foie gras, they're not nice to the goose. They do some weird things to the goose to make sure it's tender, whatever the hell it is. I really don't worry about this, but if they ban foie gras, you just got to stand up here. This could be the worst slippery slope because then they'll start to ban everything. You want veal Milanese? Well, then they don't treat the veal very well. You like shrimp? They don't. The way they catch the shrimp, it's cruel what they do to the lobster. You got to draw the line here. You have to fight to keep foie gras. Nobody knows what the hell it is or wants it, but we got to fight to keep it because if they start, this is how they do this, these crazy left-wingers. They start with some little thing you're not paying attention to, and the slippery slope begins. And if Mayor de Blasio wants to do it, you know something's up.
And I got to talk to you about the example of foie gras because you start learning about it, and it's just terrifying. It's terrifying that somehow this became a thing that humans would do and thought was normal.
It's terrifying. I could not sleep at night if I found out what they do to the goose. You know, I like geese. It's not really that terrifying. How many people eat foie gras? About 6 in the whole world. I've seen it. I even had some about a week ago. It was on this plate, and it's one of those things where if you take a bite of it, you say, you know what? That's not bad. You never would think about ordering it ever again. And going to 10,000 restaurants in Manhattan, maybe one has foie gras on the menu. But you've got to stop this. If they get away with this, they'll start banning everything.
I had to see the world in a different way and realize that some things that we came to believe were traditions were not good traditions. You know, let's be very clear. Something can be a tradition, and that does not make it healthy.
All right. I don't know what the hell they do to this goose. I got to be honest. I don't care. But I'll look it up. I'll study this tonight. Oh, I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going to be away for the rest of the week. I'll be back on Monday. We'll see. You know what? It's a goose. It's a goose. You ever see when the goose is out there in nature? An eagle just comes and eats the thing right there. That's worse than being foie gras. Anyway, let's go to Robert in Oakland. Hey, Robert.
Good morning. I love your show. Former New Yorker, live in Oklahoma for 25 years.
I don't know if you call that living, but okay.
Well, let me tell you something.
No, it's very nice.
You know, in the last three presidential elections, the Democratic nominee didn't win a single county in Oklahoma. It's the reddest of the red states. And Elizabeth Warren is originally from here. Did you know that?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing sending us her? Is she from there, or did she just move out there and live there?
No, she was born and raised, went to high school out here, and she is not liked at all. And if she's the nominee, they will not win a single county again when she runs, if she gets the nomination. But I love your show, and I just want to let you know, if you want to come to the reddest of the red states, come to Oklahoma.
What would I do out there?
There's a lot of things to enjoy out here, aside from just the outdoor living. They've got a lot of revamped cities like Tulsa and Oklahoma City.
So if I was in Tulsa, it was Friday night, you got some great clubs and restaurants? And
they do. They have a tremendous amount of restaurants. The museums are excellent.
Yeah, we don't really need the museums. But Friday night action in Tulsa, what would I be doing?
You'd go out to the cafes or go out to the clubs.
Cafes?
I'm beyond the age of clubs and cafes, so I couldn't give you an exact name of where you'd go. But there's lots of people in the witness protection program out here.
Yeah, I know, but you see how anxious they are to go out there.
70-year-old friends, Mark.
Yeah, but you know, these guys, that's why they don't want to go out there. They don't want to spend Friday night at the Red Lobster in Tulsa.
It's not like that.
No,
I
know.
Enjoy it, Mark.
No, we love everybody in Tulsa. You're the heartland of America.
Reddest of the red.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let's go to B in Brooklyn. Hey, B.
Oh, good morning, Mark.
Oh, my God.
You know, listen.
What?
Unfortunately, all of my friends are Democrats.
Yeah.
And they feel that this successful economy is a coincidence.
Yeah, it just
you don't tell me what to answer them. What did he do exactly to make it so fabulous?
He got rid of about 1,100 regulations that were strangling businesses, so it freed up businesses. He made us totally energy independent. He allowed fracking, drilling, and he also brought jobs back to this country. If all he did was get rid of those 1,100 regulations that were shutting down businesses and killing jobs,
all right.
That was
so
enough.
Now I got the answer.
Yeah. So next, when's the next Mahjong game? Today?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Half a day. Only half a day. I'm going on vacation also.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Jersey, unfortunately, to see my daughter, Sandra. You heard of her.
I have? That doesn't sound like a vacation.
Well, what can I say? She has cats and dogs. We have a good time.
Oh, okay. And what do you do down there?
I listen to the radio. Unfortunately, I'm not going to listen to you. I go to the movies. I eat out. I have a good time. No turkey this year.
All right.
Only family. Only family, Mark. Listen, Mark.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So it's not a coincidence that he's so successful.
No!
All right. You told us why. It's not in the newspaper. Nobody knows about all this stuff. So,
all right.
Unfortunately.
How come you got your radio on all of a sudden? What's going on?
Because I thought you were going to turn me off, but you never do, thank God.
No, you're very nice. We love you, B. Thanks. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for checking in with us. Don't fight too much at the Mahjong game tomorrow. When we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us next. Hey, he's got a big exclusive interview with the president. We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Noam Layden.
Mark, the city council voting today to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes. Advocates for the measure say the flavors get kids hooked, and an increasing number of high school students are vaping. Thousands of people have become sick. More than 40 have died from vaping, including two New Yorkers. The family of a missing woman from Freehold, New Jersey, say they're hoping for a miracle. Stephanie Parr is missing for a month now. Her parents tell NJ.com.
More Mark Simone in your day. Get his podcast on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, of course, number one TV host. He's the biggest, best-selling nonfiction author in the world. His latest book, The United States of Trump, you should get that. It's a big bestseller. The best book ever written on Donald Trump, The United States of Trump. Speaking of which, he's got a big exclusive interview with President Trump. You should go to BillO'Reilly.com. Become a premium member. You should anyway, but if you do it, you can be the first to see this interview tonight at 5 o'clock, BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
Good. We're a busy week, Mark, just like you, you know. Was at the White House on Sunday night. Had dinner with the president, and we interviewed him Monday morning, a first radio interview, extensive radio interview he's ever done. And as you just mentioned, it'll be posted on BillO'Reilly.com for premium members at 5 o'clock this evening. And then, you know, people can assess it. It's a big difference interviewing Donald Trump on the radio and on television, and I'll tell you why. So I've done more interviews with Mr. Trump than anyone on the planet.
Yeah.
Starting 30 years ago when I was at Inside Edition. I wasn't at Inside Edition 30 years ago. Yes, I was. God almighty, it's been that long.
Wow.
Wow. And still on, still on the air, Inside Edition. Anyway, so interviewing on television, he could see me. And I can put my hand up to stop him, or I can make a face, or I can, you know, do my finger thing, all of that. But on a radio, you can't. So I got to stop him because he'd still be talking. You know, it would be a 24-hour interview. Just goes, it's wind him up, and here he goes. So how to do that on a radio is a little bit different. It's almost like me. I bloviate on your show. If you want to jump in, just say, O'Reilly, shut up, and I'll stop. But you can't say that to a president. But in this interview, I found that I let him go a little longer than I usually would, but I got news out of letting him go because he got so wound up. He got really wound up about Biden. Really fascinating. I hadn't heard him. You know, he jabs him, Biden, all the time. But boy, was he wound up about him in this interview.
What do you think it is about Biden that got under his skin?
Well, I think that he is genuinely angered. I know this to be a fact, that the press gave Biden a pass for Ukraine and his son. He says to himself, why am I getting battered every hour on the hour by the national media when a guy like Joe Biden obviously does 100 times worse than I do, and he gets away with it? That's what lights the fuse of Donald Trump's brain, that kind of unfairness. And so he just rockets. And the way I was able to do this was my opening question, and you know me, I mean, I'm not intimidated by anyone. I said, if you had to do it again, would you not mention Joe Biden's name to the president of Ukraine? That was my opening. And boom. And I just let him go. So I think the radio interview worked as well as I could ever have hoped, and I hope people enjoy it.
Well, you can hear it. You go to BillO'Reilly.com. Become a premium member. That way you get the TV show. You get everything there, and you can get the interview before anybody tonight at 5 o'clock, BillO'Reilly.com. This is like The Irishman. You got to wait for it to be streaming. And
But it's not 3.5 hours. It's only 40 minutes, so you'll enjoy it.
So you had dinner with him. What did he eat at dinner?
I hadn't seen Donald Trump in a while. I saw him just briefly at Vets Day, the parade in New York City, but it was maybe a 30-second, a minute. That was it. So I think he wanted to talk to me about some stuff, and obviously I wanted to talk to him. So Sunday night was worked, and every time I go to the White House, I just... It's really some experience for me, and I think most Americans too. Just the history of it. I got, you know, he took me up to the Lincoln bedroom as President Obama did, and I got to see the Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address written, handwritten, which is up there in the bedroom again. And I almost cry. It's so emotional for me because I love my country, and I think most Americans do as well. And to see the White House and to see how it all works is really special, and it's one of the greatest things about my career that I'm able to have advantages like that.
Now, this is the same Donald Trump that you would sit with at the baseball game.
Yes.
What's different now? That's
an excellent question, Mark. There is a difference, and he'll never cop to it in a million years. And I say to him during the radio interview, you know, for the first time in 30 years, you got emotional. I saw emotion from you when I interviewed you for the United States of Trump right after the Mueller report came in. He goes, oh, I hope I didn't get too emotional. I said, that's not a bad thing. You're a human being, and you got emotional, and it, the last chapter of the United States of Trump shows that. And I had never seen that before. Now, on Sunday night, the measure was a little bit different. Number one, he's comfortable in the position of being president. He sincerely believes he's doing the right thing for the country. So he's not insecure, he's not nervous, not jumpy. He's comfortable there in the White House. I did not know whether he would be. That's number one. Number two, the battering has taken a toll on him. Now, I'm not going to go any further than that because it's not right for me to report on conversations that are private with anybody. But I will say to your audience that we did talk about Abraham Lincoln, who I have said publicly and to the president was the only chief executive that has gotten it worse than Donald Trump in our history. And if you look at Lincoln's picture when he did the first inaugural address, and then you look 4 years later at the second inaugural address, the man aged 25 years and four.
Mm-hmm. So when you say it's taken a battering on him, you obviously don't mean physically. Do you mean just his feelings are hurt?
Yeah, emotions. He's a human being. And the two things that people don't understand about Donald Trump are this. Number one, he's running the country in a traditional way. It's not madness. It's not craziness. He's running it in a traditional way. He may make decisions you don't like. He may be imperious sometimes. But he's running it the way most of the other presidents have run it. That's number one. But number two is that he's a person. And every day he's accused of stuff. And unlike me, because I was in that position for more than 20 years, every single day I was smeared and maligned, and every day. And I just stopped paying attention to it. And to this day, I don't pay attention to it. I don't go on the internet. I don't read the tweets. I don't do that because of my own mental health.
Yeah.
But he does. He does. And he sees the hatred, and he can't figure it out. I mean, his question is, look, I'm doing a good job. I've raised the standard of living for most Americans by my policy. Why do they hate me so much?
Hmm.
And that takes a toll on him. Even though in public he shrugs it off and I don't care. I have to say, I've never met a human being who can absorb as much punishment as Donald Trump can.
Well, if you want to see the exclusive interview, just go to BillO'Reilly.com. It's going to debut. If you're a premium member, and you should sign up to be one, you'll be the first to see it at 5 o'clock today or anytime tonight, BillO'Reilly.com. We only have like a minute left. Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
He's not going to get a single vote anywhere, is he?
Polling at 2%. He's not going to compete in Iowa or New Hampshire, which is smart, because he'd never win. They're very liberal Democratic primaries there. He'll go into South Carolina, but mostly he wants to damage Trump. It's personal. He doesn't like Trump. Never liked him. He's more of a disruptor. He doesn't expect to win the nomination. He's going to spend about $50 million to disrupt.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
But he's a guy who's tone deaf, doesn't connect with the voters.
No, he's not warm and fuzzy. But I'll tell you what, I had an hour conversation with him one time, and man, is very smart.
All right. Well, that's fair.
Very, very smart.
Well, everybody go to BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up. Become a premium member. That way you get the TV show tonight. You get all kinds of stuff that way. But you'll also be the first to see the exclusive interview with President Trump. It's at 5 o'clock tonight, but you'll be able to see it at any time. BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up. Get the book, The United States of Trump. He's going to be appearing at the Paramount in Huntington. I don't think there's any tickets left, though. Are there?
Nah, maybe if you call, maybe they got some, but it's pretty much sold out. Yeah, it's going to be very fun that night. And I want to wish you and all your listeners a happy Thanksgiving. Mark, I appreciate everything you've done for me. You've been very kind to me. Thank you very much.
Keep up the great work. BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
All right, cheers.
Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Watch, this is what we've turned into. Take a look at this. This is a modern Thanksgiving dinner with the family. It's high tech. It's digital now. I just found this. Otherwise, I would have put it up last week. The Kennedy assassination. All these videos of looking back at what happened. But watch this. It's the Boston Symphony. Kennedy's from Boston, of course. They were about to do a live performance when they got the news. The conductor announces it. Well, the audience reaction, it's very dramatic. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/mark.